Hey Lou, did you see my video of the insect dying on my insect shield shirt?
No, but you were the one that called in, and I was just unsure because I know when I was talking to those folks at Insect Shield, they were like, they're very cautious about what they
Right.
tell people because, as you know, people hear what they want to hear.
Right,
But
exactly.
you use that product.
When I lived out in Princeton after I got Lyme disease, I was never out in my garden without being covered head to toe with insect shield stuff. And I had read somewhere that if they land on your clothes and stay on it, they'll die.
Wow.
So I put a shirt down and put an insect on it and
You're like a scientist.
videotaped as the little sucker suffered neurological damage and
Right.
died. So, yeah,
Congratulations. And you
thank
have
you.
that, and that video is up somewhere we can find it?
Oh, I might put it up somewhere.
All
We'll
right.
see.
Yeah,
Okay.
put it up, you heartless thing.
Okay. It
You
was a fruit fly, for
bug
Pete's
killer,
sake.
you bug killer. Have a great show,
You
ladies.
have a good
Bye,
day,
Lou.
Lou.
Have a good
Thanks.
weekend.
Yes,
Had a
we are.
dream
Yes,
that
you
made me
said.
feel we were not girlfriends.
What did
And
I
it was a
do?
horrible dream. Well, it was amazingly clever. What you did. What happened was,
Devious like?
no, it was
Oh,
very out there, I'll tell you.
okay.
So in this dream, you were mad at me because I wasn't like taking care of my health. You were being very maternal.
Okay.
I had some
Bossy.
imaginary doctor that had told me to do something and whatever. And you were so mad that when we got on our show, you would be silent if I would say anything to you. Silent on the radio, Gabby. It was like horrible,
Oh my
horrible. And you
gosh.
did it for a couple of weeks. And you
Did
would
people
talk to the listeners.
notice? I would talk to the
Hey,
listeners, but
Kath,
not to you.
have you ever, have you ever said something out of line? Nothing. There would be radio silence. And then
How passive aggressive of me.
oh, how just aggressive.
Okay. Okay.
So this morning I woke up with just a like a lump of
Pissed off.
ickness in my stomach.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to call her.
Because she
She
won't
might
talk
not
to
be
me.
talking to me. I
Right.
don't know. And this is, and it was really hard to do a show where we've always been friends, and I'm getting the
Silent
freeze.
treatment.
So anyway, you called me this morning on the way to work to see if I
Yes.
wanted a coffee.
Right.
I cannot tell you. I was grateful you were buying the coffee, but I was really grateful that we were still talking.
Really? Oh,
Yes.
that's, yeah, that's
Yeah.
troublesome.
So if I
Yeah.
do something that pisses you off, just don't.
Hello, you know who you're talking
Yeah,
to?
don't
Have I ever
ever.
not told you if I was
No.
pissed
It's the
off?
best and worst thing about Kathy O'Malley.
Yeah.
No, actually,
No,
just the
she'll tell
best. The
you.
best.
Yeah.
Right. People don't, you don't have to guess if I'm mad. If I'm mad, I will certainly mention
And
it.
we love each other so much
We
that
do.
she doesn't even have to say, I feel when you.
Right. No,
She just
I
says,
said,
it
don't do
really pissed
that.
me off.
Don't do that. I remember early on in our career, and I think Lorna was still our program director. She said something about be real, which we generally are pretty real on radio. But she said, if there's something going on between the two of you, don't leave it off the radio. And there have been a couple times when we've said on the air, we're not liking each other very much today, or we're in really different places today, or we're not getting along.
That was before. When it's only once a week, we don't
It's
have as
hard
much
to, right,
opportunity to
exactly.
get all scratchy.
Right. But it just is, it's such a healthy way because if you don't, it just builds up and builds up. And then when you finally let it spew, it's just rage. And I think anybody who's ever, been in a bad relationship can say, oh, yeah, I remember that, or I'm in that right now. That, and then 7 years ago, when you took my napkin,
Sputter, sputter.
but what? But what? So anyway, yeah, I'm glad
So,
we're friends again. I'm glad.
yeah, that was a desert bit. Really a
I'm
desert.
I'm glad we're talking again. I just want to. I want to throw out something that I saw yesterday because this is Memorial Day weekend. These are some amazing facts about the names on the Vietnam Wall. Now, the Vietnam War was our generation's war. Mm-hmm. Our guys, maybe not post-high school. I had post-high school friends.
Yeah,
right. Who volunteered or were drafted into Vietnam. There are 58,000 plus names on the wall. 39,996, almost 40,000 of them were 22 or younger. 8,000 something were 19. 33,000 of them were 18. 12 of the names of people who died in Vietnam were 17 years old. And five of them were 16. There are three sets of fathers and sons on the wall. 31 sets of parents lost two of their sons. 997 of them were killed on their first day of duty in Vietnam. 8 women are on the wall. They were nurses. 244 soldiers were awarded the Medal of Honor during the war, and 153 of them are on the wall. So that is the kind of statistic that will hold true for any war in which our young people fight, that many of them are painfully young.
I didn't know you could get into the service when you were 16.
Well, I think you can if you lie about your age. I don't know if it's easier now or was then. But, yeah. I think there were soldiers in the Second World War who got in even younger than that. Young men.
I met a World War II vet the other day. It was like Poppy Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do this thing called the Veterans History Project. And I've been interviewing Vietnam veterans about their experience, taping it, videoing it, and then you send it into the Library of Congress. And so I'm pitching this guy because he's a World War II vet. And it's really hard to find World War II vets.
Right.
I mean, they
hundreds die every day.
Right. And I get to the and he's listening and he's nodding. And then I said, and then I will send it in to be in the archives at the Library of Congress. And he goes, oh, I've already done it.
Been there, done that.
Right. I'm archived.
Yeah.
You know, no problem.
So anyway, this is just a shout out to all of you families and friends who have lost people in any of our many wars or who have served in many of our wars. I think Memorial Day is for those who died. Mm-hmm. I think it's, and I think Veterans Day is for those who served.
Right.
So anyway.
So I live at Fort Sheridan.
Oh, right. It used to be a base.
Right. So it gets very bugly and marchy and
everything
like that. I mean, it's...
And your unit faces the parade ground. Is there a parade today?
It's actually up north in the cemetery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I usually go to that.
Right. So thank you to all of you who served and to all of you who have loved somebody who have served.
I have a science question. So someone who's a scientist should just call 312-981-7200 right now. 312-981-7200. Here's my question. If you stand in the shower, you'll notice, if you look at the drain, that the water goes counterclockwise, down the drain. So I stepped 180 degrees away to watch it from the complete opposite side, but it's still, I really don't think this is laughable. I don't
know. Not like the river?
And it continues to go counterclockwise.
I don't think you need a scientist to answer this.
I need a scientist. Can you answer it?
Your drain is in the middle of the shower, correct?
Yeah.
So if you're watching it from one side, it's going counterclockwise. And then you're saying you move over to the other side and watch it, and it's still going counterclockwise?
Yes.
Did you think it would change if you moved to the other side?
Yes, because you're looking at it from the exact opposite point of view.
Do you remember the river?
Yes, I remember the river thing. And I was extremely hesitant to bring this up.
Okay.
Because I thought, I wonder if this is like the river thing. The river thing was, I thought all rivers flowed from left to right.
Yeah.
Right. When I picture a river, it's always going left to right.
But it was pointed out then that it depended on which side of the river you were on.
Yes.
Okay.
Ergo.
Right.
I'm on the other side of the drain.
Mm-hmm. But it's not going in a straight line. It's going in a circular pattern. So a circular pattern remains the same no matter where on the edge of that pattern you're watching.
Well,
it's not
I guess
going
it
to
did,
change.
But I, why? Why wouldn't it, if you're looking at it, I know it remains the same, but it seems to me that it should change. If you are covering your mouth like you feel so bad for my brain. And you still are.
Okay, here, wait a minute. Mike believes he can help us. Mike?
Yes, I think it's Judy that's talking about the water in her shower.
Yes, yes. Right.
I'd be happy to get in the shower with her, but the two of us could watch the water go down the drain and examine the whole situation in detail.
Thank you, Mike.
That's very helpful,
Mike.
I'd
be happy to get in the shower with her for a half an hour.
Okay.
I'm very comforted by that.
Mike, you're very, well, very helpful.
Maybe we could figure it out.
Okay, I'll bet you could. This is Wally. Hi, Wally.
Hi, girls. I'm a longtime listener, and I just have to say, oh, my God.
Is this Wally from Long Grove?
It is. Yeah, it's a longtime listener. Absolutely.
I'm so good with voices.
Yeah, very good.
What do you mean, yeah. Oh, my God?
Kathy, take the clock off the wall, put it on the floor, and go from one side to the other and see which way the hands move. Do they change?
I know they don't change. I noticed that they don't change, but I don't know why.
They're still going around a circle. They're going clockwise around a circle. It doesn't make any difference which side you're standing on. It's going around in a circle.
I think there's something wrong with science.
Okay.
Thank you, Wally.
Love the show. Love the show, girls.
Thank you. And this is Scientist Dave. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, girlfriends.
Can you help?
There's a very simple explanation for this minor phenomenon. Consider yourself living down under in Australia or New Zealand on the other side of the equator. Okay, the water on that side of the equator will go clockwise.
I've heard that's not true.
It is, because if you look straight down at the ground, Australia, if you tunnel all the way through the Earth, you would reach Australia, all right? Or the Antarctic Circle, okay? So you're actually looking at things backwards, but the Earth spins in one direction.
Okay, but Judy's shower is not in Australia.
No, and
Judy's shower is here.
For me, Dave.
Right,
right.
So can
but
you help her understand what the rest of us have not been able to help her understand? That
yes,
even if
just,
she stands on the opposite side of the shower that has a center drain, the water will still be going the same way.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. I know yeah. It's correct. I just don't understand why it doesn't change.
Because
you're looking at it from the opposite side.
Because the natural phenomena for the Earth, okay? The Earth is spinning in one direction. But if you go to the other side of the equator, the water will appear to be spinning in the opposite direction.
Okay, I think that confuses the issue a little bit.
You made it worse.
Yeah, right. There's Sam, the sports guy. Sam, can you thanks anyway, Dave. Sam, can you help Judy understand?
We can do a project. When are you free, Judy?
You're going to have to get in line behind Mike.
Yeah, I forgot Mike's first. Mike did call it
first.
And I don't stay at my age in a shower for a half hour because
pruny.
I am like totally a raisin.
We're pruny to begin with. Oh,
right.
Thanks to all of our male listeners for their excellent help. Like to get out of the city and relax once in a while? Come and buy my house in Princeton. You'd
it's
really
a great
like
house.
It. Oh,
it
never
has
mind.
A great garden.
Who doesn't? You could end up at a water park again or spend your life savings on another exhausting trip to Orlando. What does this say?
This means you're standing
repetitive.
In line.
Okay. Kathy and Judy back. You know our number. It's 312-981-7200. We love to hear from you. We check the text line often, and we check the phone line all the time. And the question is, do you have something besides your job, besides your hair appointment, do you have something you do every week at the same time? generally every Friday, at some point every Friday, my friend Joanne and I do lunch and a movie or a movie and dinner. It's just what we do on Friday. And every now and again, one of us will have the option to do something with somebody else. And then we work around it. Joanne had something yesterday and I had the Walk of Fame thing in the morning. So we're going to connect today. But generally, Friday is my day for my date with Joanne. How about you? How about you, Judy? And how about you, our girlfriends?
312-981-7200. I do have a standing and it's with Ann and Carol. And we meet at a coffee shop in Highland Park called Arriva Dolce at 8:45 every Monday.
Okay.
And even on Memorial Day, we are not taking a holiday from our meeting.
Okay.
Because there's always a lot to catch up on. So,
and it's nothing very, that you have to confirm. It's just that's...
We'll no, we confirm. Oh, is everybody okay. ready for coffee?
Okay. All right.
But don't you confirm with Joanne?
Generally, because we have to pick a movie. We have to decide right. on a movie, so that depends on whether we do dinner.
What are you seeing
lunch.
Today?
We're not. Actually, there's nothing out there that either of us have been that excited about.
What about that Money one?
We already saw Money Monster.
Oh,
we saw
good?
That the week it came out.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. We liked it.
You know what I want to see?
What?
The documentary that's coming out, and I don't know if it's TV or movie theater, but about Kitty Genovese.
Oh.
About how there weren't 38 people standing there.
Right.
About she lived with another woman. About how Arthur Rosenthal, who wrote the original story and then became editor of the New York Times, kind of pumped up that whole thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited to see that.
I haven't seen that. And I went and saw this week The Man Who Knew Infinity with Dev Patel.
He's good in everything.
So appealing. So appealing. Anyway, so we're just going to have lunch. So anyway, what's your deal? What Judy sees some girlfriends, two girlfriends, every Monday morning at the same time for coffee at the same place. This is Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
What do you do every week at the same time with the same person?
Every Saturday morning, I run with, I'm a social worker at a high school, and I run with one of the deans.
Did you already run this morning?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How far do you guys run?
Well, it depends on... If we're training for something, when we were training for a half marathon, you increase a mile a week, you know, over a course of a summer.
Uh-huh.
So every Saturday we would, you know, look at our training schedule and do that.
But obviously, if you're training for a half, both of you are running during the week as well as your Saturday run.
Right.
Right.
But Saturdays are, you know, we park at the same place and we meet at the same time and. So today was just, last week it was 3 miles, today it was two. And today I didn't meet her for some weird reason, but it didn't work out. But yeah, every Saturday we usually
Today
I parked at the same place and ran by myself.
Okay, so. That's exactly what we mean. Thanks, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
Okay, and this is Peg. Hi, Peg.
Hello.
Hello, what do you do every week at the same time with the same person?
Every Friday my friend and I go to... get facials, and then we go out to dinner. And recently, we've been reading this book, Down the Funny Hall with the Playboy Bunny. And so we converse about that, but we get facials every week.
How's your skin? Because that's frequent. Great. That's very frequent to get a facial.
Well, one week we get a peel, and the following week we get this treatment that they take the top layer of the skin off.
Oh, my gosh.
Does your face look like a baby tush?
It's very soft and very fresh. And it's just something that we like to do. You know, we're getting older. You know, I'm 67. She's 73. So we do it. We look like we're about 50.
Okay.
I'm stunned. And... you're talking to each other? You have facialists that work across the way from each other?
Yes, we're in the same treatment room, and we have the same people every week, so we go in it together, and we just have a great time.
All right. Every Friday at 1 o'clock, a facial with your girlfriend. That's exactly what we're talking about. Give us a call at 312 or send us a text. Judy's sitting there with her mouth open. Judy, are you all right?
I am. Well, you know, I'm also impressed with the fact that Peg has a close friendship with someone 15 years her senior.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Because I think it's sometimes hard to break out of your own grade.
Oh, interesting.
You know, your own age group.
Right.
That, I mean, at different times in life, that's very different. And I think 57 and 73 are very different.
Hmm.
I'd be thrilled to have a girlfriend who was only 57.
I can't believe that among all the friends that you have that there isn't somebody who's younger.
I don't think I have anybody younger. I have friend Lee's.
Yeah. But, acquaintances.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But
my posse out in Princeton.
They're all young?
Well, except for one who's my age. They're all women in their 40s and 50s. I love that. Love that. 312-981-7200 is our number. We're talking about a repetitious, that makes it sound boring, a standing appointment with somebody else for an activity. I recognize the phone number on this text message because it's from one of my girlfriends, but she says every Tuesday, Bible study and lunch with the same group of women. And so that's what we're talking about. 312-981-7200, Tuesday, 7:30. Dance lesson. Oh, 7 p.m. dance lesson from somebody else.
Oh, I have French lesson on Wednesdays. But that's like a class.
Right.
It
that's different.
It has to be at the same time. That,
yeah.
My mom and all of her retired teacher friends do water aerobics every like Tuesday at 7 a.m.
Okay.
They pick each other up usually.
Right.
One of them is calling my mom saying, Linda, are you awake? We'll be there in 5 minutes.
We'll see you there. 312-981-7200. This is Wanda. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, friends.
Hi. What do you do?
I'm 68, and every Thursday I pick up my 85-year-old friend. We've been friends for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to lunch, and I take her food shopping.
That's nice.
Every Thursday.
Do you food shop at the same time?
Nope. I read in the car.
Okay. Are you like girlfriends, or do you more or less do this as a service for this other person?
Nope, we are girlfriends.
Girlfriends. Okay.
We've been friends for a long time.
So you send her into the grocery store while you read?
Yep, long as she can still walk by herself, she's doing fine.
Okay. All right, that's great. 68 and 85-year-old friends.
Yep.
All right, thank you. This is Dolores. Hi, Dolores.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi.
A girlfriend and I have been meeting for about 25 years every Saturday morning. 8 o'clock, we meet at a place downtown and walk different parts of the city to keep up with what the city is doing.
Uh-huh. And where do you come from, Dolores? Or do you come from
I'm in the Edgebrook area in Chicago, and my friend is from Westmont.
Okay, so she's a suburbanite. You're way up on the north side.
North side, right.
And you meet downtown?
That's correct.
Well, oh, that's cool.
We started parking at the planetarium. I said,
okay, "Oh, Dolores, you're cutting out.
Fuzzy.
We're cutting out, but we got the gist of your call, and thank you for calling." Here we go. Here's some guys. This is Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Kathy and Judy. How are you guys?
Good.
All right. What's your standing appointment?
So our standing appointment is Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. A group of us. We started out as six guys. And we called ourselves the Bagel Boys because we met at Einstein's Bakery.
Okay.
In Naperville.
Okay. And what's the age range? What's the age range, Dennis?
Probably 65 to 74.
Oh, okay. So not real wide.
No.
Right.
We all met through church. Our daughters were young at that time and going through Girl Scouts and so on and so forth. And we all formed a friendship. And so we meet every Saturday, coffee,
bagels,
raucous group, between bagels and coffee and whatever else.
Okay.
Going on that day and just talk about what's happening within the family and world politics. And
okay, you guys have known each other for a long time. You talk about your family and politics. Do you ever talk about your feelings or your fears, or do you ever say, oh man, I'm really worried about this?
We do.
Oh, you do?
It's really a good friendship amongst the guys.
How many are you?
Well, now we're down to four. Two of them moved out of state. One's in Iowa and one's in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But we still stay in touch. We'll sometimes call them on the phone when we're meeting. We'll put it on speakerphone.
Really?
And we'll just kibitz a little bit. Yeah, seriously.
Is it always at Einstein's? Same Einstein's?
No, Einstein's? We've actually moved around. We were there today at Einstein's only because it was more convenient. But, I mean, we'll meet at Panera or Country, the Corner Bakery. Mm-hmm. It just depends what's easy and more local for whoever's driving and so on and so forth.
Where I grew up, we called that the liar's table. You guys would all sit at the liar's table.
Pretty much. And the people around us usually eavesdrop just to hear what we're talking about.
You know everything in town.
You see that a lot at McDonald's. At McDonald's, if you're there between 7 and 10, there's usually a table of older guys at McDonald's.
Yeah,
and their chairs aren't even that comfortable, though.
Right.
And we'll be there for two and a half hours.
Yeah, there you go.
10:30.
There you
and
go.
And we'll get on with business. So.
All right.
But
thank
it's
you,
a great friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds me of the buzzards when I lived in Princeton, the Lover's Lane turkey buzzards. Same group of guys every day but Sunday, Fred's Barn, 10 o'clock.
They included you sometimes.
They let me come every now and again. Yeah, mm-hmm. They gave me the T-shirt. but yeah, and because they were guys of a certain age, they've lost some guys and not to move into Ohio.
Just the same old thing.
Same old thing. What's the same old thing in your life and with who and what day and what time? We're just talking about the things that you know you're going to do every week at a certain time with a certain person. On the text line, I have a friend for about 40 years. We're only a few years apart in our 60s. When I was going to chemo, she came with me every infusion, and then we did lunch. Best friend ever. Also, she is Jewish and I am Christian. So there's a lot of combinations of friends, and we're getting a lot of texts and a lot of calls on that. Judy was asking about friends of a very different age, and our girlfriend from 949 reminds us that actress Sarah Paulson is 41, and she's in a relationship with Holland Taylor, who is in her 70s. So that's quite a range. They've got about 25 or 30 years between them. Another girlfriend says every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m., AA meeting, same group. 312-981-7200. This is Chris. Chris, what's your standing appointment?
Are you giggling at me?
Yes, I am.
Well, I think it's an interesting choice. So tell us why and what.
Well, first of all, I refer to you as my girlfriends. And
well,
my
good.
Has to tell me that you're not. And I say, of course you are. I've been listening to you girls for like 20 years. And it started when my kids were little. And when I go to work, I only wore lipstick on Friday.
Why?
And I don't know, just so I knew it was Friday, because you don't know breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you know, you just, yeah. And so now the first place I worked, it was referred to as Lipstick Friday, and now I changed, and it was again Lipstick Friday. So it's just kind of a quirky.
So your standing appointment is with lipstick.
Yeah, except I had to buy a new one because I lost one and I didn't have any yesterday. But the world stayed on its atlas. Everything's okay.
Oh, that's a riot. Thank you, Chris.
I love you, girl.
Oh, thanks
a
lot.
Thank you, and you are our girlfriend.
Through many things.
Thank you. This is Pat. Pat, what's your standing appointment?
Well, I have a group of lady friends who meet every other Thursday during the nice weather and play nine holes golf. The oldest of us is going 85 and the youngest is 70. That's for Judy's information.
Wow.
I'll tell Kathy about it then.
Pardon me?
Nothing. It's okay.
Well, while I'm on here, hi to all my golfing friends. Talk to you later.
Okay, now wait a minute, Pat. That's obviously only not in winter.
Oh, no.
Unless you're calling from Arizona.
No, I'm not calling from Arizona.
But do you have a substitute activity during the bad weather? Or do you just say, I'll see you in April?
There's always going out to lunch.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's always an option.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Okay.
You can actually golf outside in the winter. Some of the courses on the south side, they give you like a neon colored ball. And when you hit it, it leaves like a vapor trail. And then it glows so you can see it in the snow. They call it snow golf. Promise. I would
have
never
you played
do
it, Sam?
I never have because I'm not insane. I don't want to play golf.
I was just
going to
say,
there's
some compulsion involved with somebody who would. And if there's any depth of snow, That's going to make it hard to find your balls.
I can imagine.
Okay. Well,
careful.
Okay. All right. This is Mary. Mary, what's your standing appointment?
Hi. I live in Southwest Michigan, and there's a group of us. We call ourselves the LWAGS, L-W-A-G-S. And there we get together every Saturday morning. I send out an email, and nobody has to reply. We just show up at our favorite cafe in St. Joseph, Michigan.
What does LWAG stand for?
And LWAG stands for the fact that once out of all these years, somebody actually stopped by and asked our advice. And so we renamed ourselves the Local Women's Advisory Group. A woman had stopped by, and we keep looking for more people to ask for advice.
Who need your advice? Oh, that's hilarious.
And they go, here's one woman, and we all looked at each other, and of course we all had our opinion, and we're laughing hysterically, but that's the only one we had.
You know, you should put
anyway,
a sign up.
A lot of laughter. It's
Mary,
a lot of laughter.
There were a couple of women in New York who set up chairs and a table years and years ago.
On the street.
And it said, advice ladies.
Right.
And you should put it at your table at the coffee shop.
Well, I have suggested that they even just put a little sign that it says reserved at 9:30 on Saturday morning. So
how much of our show do you miss? Because I'm not sure I like this.
I know that actually that's true because we always hear you on the way home from this. And I was so surprised to hear this topic. And I thought here, you know, each group probably thinks they're their own special group. And I'm thinking I'm so proud of these women and that we really just get together for laughter as much as anything else. But how cool it is that so many people, women are especially, I think, are getting together. And
there is no way that we could ever get to all the texts. There are dozens of texts from people who are telling us what their weekly standing appointment is. Well, thanks for your call. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Okay. This is Lori. Not you, but your mom.
Hi. I have a story about my mom. She's 87 years old, and she and a group of widows, kind of as they became widows, they have been going to the same place that has cheap tacos on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And they have their martinis and their wine, and they meet at the same place every week, and they've been doing it, I think, probably 20 years.
So this is your mom and friends her age.
Yep. And they call themselves the Taco Bells.
So they go out for booze and tacos.
Booze and tacos.
Every week.
For years. And the now, as they've been losing some of their friends, because they're all in their 80s and 90s.
Right.
Several of them have put that in their obituaries that they were a member of the Taco Bells.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Do they drive home?
You know what? I think they also, like the kids do, they get a designated driver. So,
oh, right. Uh-huh.
Yep, it all works out.
Sorry, Laverne, this week you're the designated driver. You can only have tacos.
Exactly.
That's great. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah. Oh, you bet. Have
okay,
a great day.
Bye-bye.
It's the Dixie Chicks, and it goes, "What's all this talk about love? Ready to run?"
Oh, okay.
So, I read this week. I thought this was a high figure. 15% of weddings are canceled. And
at what point?
After you've paid, and after the invites have gone out.
Ooh, ouch.
So, my question is, if you have been invited to a wedding who was canceled, or you're part of being a canceller, or your daughter or son was, how do you tell your guests, and how do you recoup the cash, and can you recoup any cash? And also, if it was a destination wedding, which so many are these days, and you've bought your ticket, do you just go on a trip to Cabo in Mexico, or what do you do? I mean, that's a high percentage when there's so much money involved and so much planning.
Well, now, Bob, you found, engineer Bob Ferguson, you said you found a website that addresses this specific thing?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull
it. Okay.
Back
it's like canceledweddings.com or something.
Yeah, canceledweddings.com. It says the world's biggest online market for buying and selling canceled weddings and honeymoons.
Wow.
Didn't know it was such a market for that.
That's really smart. Can you read one of the ads? Our number is 312-981-7200. We're talking about canceled weddings. If you were invited to one, if you had already bought your tickets, if it had been a destination one, if you canceled one, and how you managed or how you were told about this untimely cancellation.
Bob, is it possible it was an org? Or because I'm doing canceledweddings.com and just coming up with one of those pages that has a bunch of other sites.
No, it's canceledweddings.com.
Okay. Well,
maybe we're not spelling canceled right. Is it two L's?
Yes.
Did you find it, Sam? Well,
Sam, did you cancel your wedding?
I didn't find the website, but that's how you spell canceled.
Thank you.
I don't see it, Ferg. Maybe you're making this up.
No, it's but it's one L, the way they've got it spelled.
Oh, okay.
So they spelled it wrong.
All right. Well, no wonder.
Well, now I'm really doubting their legitimacy.
All right, canceledweddings.com, but only one L in the canceled. And what did you do? How I remember my sister was set to marry somebody, and he was from Canada. And it wasn't that, maybe I don't think that sister is listening today, but that wedding was canceled, and it wasn't a whole lot before it was scheduled.
Uh-huh.
I think she just woke up one day and realized that she didn't know this guy very well because they had basically fallen in love long distance. You know, she would go to Canada, he would come here,
yeah.
But they hadn't spent any significant time together. And I want to say it was maybe 2 months before the wedding. I don't remember that there were bridesmaids' dresses purchased or anything, but I do remember in our family that there was a canceled wedding. Now, of course, this was 45 years ago, so weddings weren't the extravagant deal that they tend to be now. They were,
you know, when you're trying to get your money back, too, I was reading the full article. I don't have it with me, but it said florists can usually do this. They can cancel if it's not, you know, within 24 hours or something, and they haven't ordered their flowers. They can usually return your money if you've paid, but maybe keep your deposit.
Right.
You know, something like that. But certainly a room or whatever. This is Susie. And Susie?
Yes.
Hi.
How
do you relate? Yeah.
I love your show. And
Thank you.
This is an interesting story. There's a couple who had a very lavish, extravagant wedding. They had the wedding. The guests came. The guests paid, you know, with gifts and all kinds of things. The wedding was in Chicago. The couple then drove to California within, I believe it was 48 hours or however long it took them to get to California. When they got there, they called the bride's father, and they said they're getting divorced, and they did. Now, this was after the wedding was paid for, done, you know, the band. I mean, they had the full nine yards of an extravagant wedding.
That's why it's good to wait within the still polite time frame of a year to give a wedding present.
Oh, right.
Because then you won't be out the wedding present. And I don't know what the etiquette is. I think you have to return the presents unless you've unpacked them all from Crate and Barrel.
You're
definitely supposed
to return the presents.
Oh, yeah.
Right. What would they do, right? I mean, and then the father and mother who had this elaborate wedding, and the father supposedly gave this long, I wasn't at the wedding, but a very good friend of mine was, and told us about this. And this couple had dated for a long time and were engaged.
God.
And then this happened. I don't know exactly, or I really can't say why this happened. And another interesting thing, this is going back 40-some years. A girlfriend of mine got married, and I was going to give her a party. And she went to Las Vegas to get married. And right after the wedding, she called me, and she said, call off the party. We're getting this in the hold. Now, and I remember I had planned this party. I mean, I, you know, it wasn't like at a hotel or anything. It was at my house, but I had ordered, you know, a caterer and all that because it was a very good friend of mine. But got the money back, on, except for deposits. I mean, I didn't have florists or anything like that, but that was a long time ago when that happened. So, you know, it's crazy things happen with
yeah,
weddings.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Suze. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to say, when you cancel a wedding, and I don't know what size most weddings are, but it seems when we ask people how big the wedding is, they'll say something like 175 people, mm-hmm. you know. That's a lot of people who have maybe gone out and bought a dress. I mean, even when you know you're invited to a wedding and you can't fit into any of your clothes, you might start looking for a wedding dress just to attend.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you put out some money for a dress, which, you know, you could say, well, you can always wear it somewhere else. Well, not in my life.
That you wear to a wedding? A dress that you wear in a wedding, I can understand.
No, but you know.
The summer dress?
I have this really cute dress that I've bought. I've worn it to a couple weddings, so it wouldn't be a problem, and I can no longer fit into
it. Is that the cream-colored one?
The cream-colored
one
with
the black
dress.
That's a great dress. Why wouldn't you wear it?
Because it's fancy. I don't do anything fancy.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm going to a garden party for Random Acts of Flowers on July 14th. Anybody can come look it up.
Love that organization, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great organization. And I couldn't wear it to it. It'd be cute, but it's in like a silk or something. You can't wear silk in the day.
What? You can wear silk in the daytime.
Well, I can't because I would be schvitzing all over
it. Oh, okay. Well, that if it's
and
hot
I think it's
and
too
sweating.
Fancy.
Okay.
I don't know. This is Jerry.
Hi,
hey,
Jerry.
Hi. I just wanted to contribute to the party here.
Okay.
I had an employee one time. I'd known her for a long time, and she met a nice guy. Had an elaborate wedding planned, and in reference to an old murder mystery, I sent her an email that said, and then there were nine. This is talking about 10 little Indians. So anyhow, she responded later saying, what do you mean? And I said,
I would have that
days,
same response.
Nine more days of freedom. Well, but I think it was a half a day later, and actually an email came out canceling the wedding. The people that we worked with, I'm not sure how she handled people that were relatives and friends, but I asked her that question, and I don't ask many questions anymore.
Why?
Well, just me asking her that question, I guess, caused her to rethink. And
why do you think it was you, Jerry?
Jerry, don't you think that the doubt existed before you said that?
It did.
Yeah.
And I just happened to be the the one.
The impetus, right.
Yeah, I kicked it just enough.
Did she tell you that? Did she say it was your email?
No. But, well, I guess there's about a 1% chance that it didn't initiate it. But
I don't think it was your email.
Are you still friends?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Actually, we are. And she went on to marry another really nice guy and went to Australia and kind of lived very well there. So,
okay.
It's all
and watched the water go down
so
the
you
drain
did
the
me
other
a favor.
Direction.
But be careful what you ask, I think. And my sense of humor maybe, you know, is a little odd. But, you know, we had known each other for a long time, good friends, and I had no clue.
I have to ask you one more thing. Are you married or not married?
I was married before and during and after.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Jerry.
All right,
Jerry, thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
312-981-7200 from the text line. My best friend's daughter canceled. I told the mother of the bride it was the best $10,000 she'd ever lost because the groom-to-be was the worst ever. She totally agreed. Kathy and Judy back. I have a kind of a really short question and then another thing to... Well, I'll do the other thing to mention. Judy's very involved with Random Acts of Flowers, which is a great organization. And I wanted to mention that I am now involved with an organization I had thought about getting involved with a long time ago. And finally, now that I'm in closer and have all kinds of time, I signed on to train with an organization called CASA. C-A-S-A. It stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And the goal of CASA, and there are organizations by county because it's about the court systems, assigns a representative, an advocate, to every child going through the system. So if a child has been removed from its birth parents for one reason or another and is in foster care or is in residential placement or something, that child has one person that they know is always there for them, that that person's going to be there when they go to court, that person's going to be there at least once a month to visit with them and get to know them. And if you're somebody that has some time, and I know a lot of retired people do, it might be worth investigating. I'm involved with Casa DuPage, wonderful organization. They have hundreds of CASA advocates who are working with kids who are going through the court system, but I believe there's a huge group in Cook County. Check in your county. Check with your county court system and see if there's a CASA. And if you are willing to go through the training, which I think is 35 or 40 hours, and make yourself available and committed to a child who's going through the court system, I just think it's a wonderful organization. I know that mine, Casa DuPage, is putting together a training class for the fall. So if you sign up now, you can get in on that training class. But check with the one in your area. And it's a great way to do one-on-one. I love one-on-one volunteers. Tutoring one person, helping one person. For Judy, making a flower arrangement that one person is going to get to enjoy. It, to me, it's so much more fulfilling than, you know, licking envelopes or whatever. And that's important too, but I love the one-on-one, and CASA provides that. Did you have
and you
a question?
Just got and you just got fixed up with your
right
person.
With my first child, right?
Right. Yeah. And you only do one person at a time,
but generally, yeah, sometimes there could be a sibling group. Sometimes there may be a brother and sister who are going through the court system together or whatever. So sometimes somebody may wind up with, but case wise, you're generally only involved with one case at a time. And so check with your local CASA.
And if you want to do something for Random Acts of Flowers, as long as we're talking about our organizations, there is an upcoming garden party that's a fundraiser. It's on the Random Acts of Flowers Chicago. Just type all that in and type it in not as a web address, but just type that in and you'll get to the web address. And then it says events. And you'll be able to go to see Craig Bergman's private garden.
Oh, that's very beautiful. I've seen that.
Up at the Armor, the Armor Home in Lake Forest.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm the honorary chairman. I've never been an honorary chairman of anything. I went right out and bought a dress.
There you go. You can wear it to a wedding. $45. Marshalls?
No, this store called Charming Charlie.
Oh,
love
that
Charming Charlie.
10,000 kinds of earrings.
Yes.
Right.
Every
it's
color.
All color oriented.
Right. Scarves, accessories. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Charming Charlie's there every place. They're fun. So this is Cab. Cab, you can relate to Random Acts of Flowers?
Yes. I was in the hospital last November unexpectedly with some surgery. And when Jack walked in with his bouquet of flowers, Random Acts of Flowers, I was so emotional, and it just came at the perfect time, and I didn't have any family anywhere. They were all out of town.
Of anything.
And
I went right
I
out and bought a
all
dress.
About it until just now, and I'm actually going to give them a call and find out what I can do, because that was the most wonderful thing.
Oh,
that
I'm
ever
glad to hear that. You can do all kinds of things, like vase drives. We have all donated vases, and, you know, there's training involved in delivery and all kinds of things that you can do. So you don't have to particularly be good with flowers, but you can
yes,
help.
Yes, I'm going to check in. I'm going to check in with that because I do volunteer at my hospital, and I also do volunteer at Brookdale Senior Living. And so, but this is something that was just...
Oh, I'm glad
right
it was
the
great
right
for
time
you.
Was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Cool.
And how are you doing now? You better now?
One day at a time.
Okay.
One day at a time.
Okay.
Yes.
Glad
thanks
you're listening. Thanks, hon.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who's that guy? Where did he come from? Who's that guy? Where'd he come from?
Who is that
yesterday,
guy?
Yesterday.
That happened.
At the Walk of Fame, there were a lot of former WGN people who show up at those every year.
And Tribune people.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's really wonderful. But there was this one very tall, well-dressed
guy. Distinguished.
Distinguished-looking guy. And Judy and I, he was talking to all, you know, he was people talking to Robert Feeder and to other people from GN, and we had no idea. I said, do you know who that is? Which, you know, the one in the khaki pants? No, who is that? I absolutely don't recognize him. And then somebody said, that's Dennis Fitzsimons.
He was the boss of all.
He was the CEO of the Tribune before the bad people came in. And Dennis, I believe, resigned and, you know, left with $1 zillion. And we absolutely did not recognize him. And I said, do you think he got plastic surgery? Do you think you... I finally went over and, you know, reintroduced myself because I wouldn't assume that he would remember me. And I said, Kathy O'Malley. And he said, oh, hi, nice to see you. I said, Dennis, I have to be honest. I absolutely did not recognize you. And he said, I shaved off the mustache. And I remember we had a conversation. And he looks like a totally different person.
He looks much younger.
Yes. We had a conversation in our previous incarnation as Kathy and Judy before the bad people about men who have been known to have mustaches or beards and then all of a sudden they're gone and they look totally different. And I asked Dennis, I said, number one, why did you do it? And number two, what did Anne, his wife, say? And he said, it was 2 or 3 years ago. I was just shaving and I just thought, it's time, get rid of it. And I said, you didn't talk to her about it beforehand. He said, no. And she had never seen him without a mustache. He had a mustache when they met. And I said, what was her response? And he said, she screamed. And I remember telling a story when I was still married and lived in Rolling Meadows. We lived in a neighborhood that was having a block party, and there was a guy across the street from us that always had this big, thick, bushy mustache. It was in the Village People days. You know, it was like a Village People mustache. And we went to the block party, and I remember, I can't even remember his name, that he looked so different. I said, wow, you look so different. He said, I know, I shaved off my mustache. It wasn't until a week or two later that we figured out at the same time he had put on a hairpiece. So what you noticed was that his facial hair was gone and you were less inclined to notice that he was wearing a rug. And I just remember, and I don't know if any of our girlfriends here or guy friends can relate.
We saw quite a few rugs yesterday too.
Yes, we did.
I remember Max Armstrong telling a story that he shaved his mustache off one time and it scared his daughters. I think they were quite young at the time.
Right.
And they cried, and he never shaved it again.
Well, 312-981-7200, if you can relate to that, to seeing somebody or being a guy who has always had facial hair, and one day you just wake up and say, I'm redoing this. I'm changing this. It would be like a wife, although maybe guys wouldn't notice, who always had long hair and who decided to have it cut short and colored differently. And then you show up, and I don't know if most husbands would notice that or not.
You know, Tom is in Italy right now with Kate, and it's a 30th birthday present trip and everything. Anyway, he decided, since it was kind of a roughing it trip that they're doing, that he didn't want to be bothered with keeping his beard trim. So he shaved it down so I almost saw his face.
Oh my God. You know, it's less beard than it is mustache, because mustache kind of covers up lip.
Right. I suppose that's true.
Wow.
And
okay.
It was like, it was kind of what I've been asking for. I really would like him to shave his beard completely
off. Go all the way, right.
And he really won't do it. And I keep saying, it'll grow back in 3 weeks. It'll,
right.
You know,
right.
It's not irrevocable. But anyway, it was kind of exciting to see the face of your husband.
Yeah. Haven't I seen pictures of Tom without a beard? No.
Mm-mm.
Always in
well,
the
from
last...
college days on. I mean, when he was a little boy holding a bike.
Well,
yeah.
Sure, right.
But
exactly.
No, you haven't. He had a red beard and red hair.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Hey, Deb, how can you relate? Hey, Deb.
Hello.
Hi, Deb.
Hi. Yeah. Hi. First of all, I love you girls. I miss you so much during the day. For years I've listened to you. Anyway, from the moment I met my husband, he had a mustache. And he looks like Tom Selleck. People even say, you know, oh, my God, you look like Tom Selleck, even at this age. But
He shaved it off one time, and I immediately saw him and said, I don't even think I would have dated this guy because he looks so dorky.
Really? Did he have like a Village People mustache? Was it a big bushy
one? Yeah, he did. Yes.
Okay.
It was in the 70s and 80s.
Like Super Mario Brothers.
You grow that back immediately. And so he did.
He did it. He shaved it off.
I see pictures of him. I don't think I would have dated this guy because he looks so dorky.
He didn't consult with you.
No, we kind of talked about it, and you know, and I said, well, you know, it'll always grow back. Let's see what it looks like, you know, without. But it was like, oh, my God, what a mistake. What a mistake.
What
and even pictures of him now of that, you know, that short amount of time. I think it took maybe a week or so. I can't even look at those pictures. Like,
is it about the mouth? Is it about the upper lip? It was just
the upper lip.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So it was like he doesn't have one. And I never knew that.
Because it was covered up. The lack of it was covered up. Very funny.
So he still does have a mustache.
So did he just walk into the kitchen and say, hi, how did you find out?
Yeah, I mean, we had said, he's like, should I get rid of my mustache? It makes me look older. I'm like, you know, try it. This was probably when he was in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down, you know, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Grow it
you
back
know.
immediately.
Oh, I immediately said, you have to grow it back. You have to grow
okay.
it
Okay. All right.
I
That's what
like
we mean.
I would just like to have the
Thank
opportunity
you,
to say, grow yes. it back, you know.
Oh, right. If he would do it, so you could say,
right.
I really like it better the other way.
And though he's not an I told you so kind of
right.
guy, he'd be perfectly entitled if I said grow it back to say, I
told
you
so. Regine, this would almost be grounds for turning around and walking out of the
Canceling
church.
Canceling the wedding, right.
Tell us your story.
Hi, my name's Regine Breedlove. And
we knew that.
Back in 1992, I was getting ready to get married. And my husband, or my fiance at the time, we had dated for many, many years. I had known him for many years and always knew him with a mustache. And as I walked down the aisle, I kept looking as I got closer, and I kept seeing his brother, my husband's brother, laughing. And I looked, and there was some man standing there that I didn't know, or I didn't think I knew, but I knew I was supposed to be getting married, and it was my husband. They thought it would be funny to shave off the mustache before he got married.
That's mean.
That's creepy almost. So what did you say when you got up there?
Well, first I looked, and then I kind of felt a little faint. I thought I was going to pass out. I just didn't know what was going on. I thought, what's happening? And then, you know, I mean, I knew it was him. And but then we walked up the steps, and then I actually, before Pastor even started, I turned to my bread, and I turned and had him look right at me. Because I thought, is this a joke? Is this really him? Because I just...
He looks so different.
He looks so different, and the church was laughing. Everyone was laughing. Finally, I had to get cut to the back of the church. What had happened down there when my dad walked me down? And
so that has to be weird for you to look at all your wedding pictures.
Yeah, because I took our pictures before the wedding. We had all the pictures. So at the wedding pictures, she has the mustache. And then after the reception, there's no, you know, mustache. And as we came out of the church,
how was the honeymoon?
We didn't go until a few weeks after the wedding. And, you know, it was great. And he has never grown a mustache back since, and it's been fine. So.
Wow.
He has not grown it back.
No, huh? No.
Huh.
Wow.
It was fun. It made it kind of a... everybody at the wedding, of course, they all talked about it. They had a lot of fun with it as well as we did. So,
well, you're a good sport, Regine. Thanks for the call.
You know what's interesting about our callers?
Huh?
This topic, you know, the new face behind the old mustache or whatever, has two people who are calling themselves Rhonda, unless they're really named that. Now, that's our
well.
Name.
Here's one of them. This is Rhonda calling about her ex-husband.
Oh yes. Love you, girlfriend.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Really, really love your show.
Is that your real name?
No, it's not, because I don't want to hurt his feelings or have somebody hear
Even
me
though he's your ex-husband.
Oh, yeah, we're still friends.
Okay.
But Yeah, always had a mustache, and I saw pictures of him when he was younger, and he was so handsome. And anyway, I asked him if he would do it, and he said, oh, okay. So he did it, and so the day he did it, I was, like, really excited, and he walked out of the bathroom after shaving, and I screamed. I went, oh, oh, that's such a surprise. Look at it. He had lips like a girl. He looked like a woman.
You were still married. You were still married to him at the time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were still happily married at the time. And, but anyway, oh, my gosh. It was so different. It was so different.
Did you ask him to grow it back?
I didn't, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I couldn't stop, like, out of the side of my eyes looking at him all the time. And when he went to work, I think somebody said to him that he looked like a woman.
Wow.
He must have been very good looking.
He was attractive.
To look like a girl.
But his eyes didn't, his face, the rest of his face and his body didn't match up with his mouth.
And now he's your ex-husband, but a friend.
Yes, okay. He is. And anyway, he's, you know, he grew it back and he never shaved it off again. And
okay.
I don't think he ever will. But yeah, I
all
screamed
right.
when he walked out. But
well,
anyway,
that's what happened to our friend Dennis. Thank you, Rhonda.
Oh, not your
okay,
real
take
name.
Care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I wish you had a pencil and mustache. 312-981-7200. We're talking about surprising your spouse by shaving off the beard or mustache that she has been used to for a long time. Rhonda?
Hi, this is Rhonda, and I really am a Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
Even during the Rhonda and Vince days when I would call in, I was a Rhonda. I
okay.
But we're married almost 30 years, and when I met my husband and dated him, he had a very trimmed, well-trimmed, manicured beard and mustache, which I had loved. And then when we got engaged, all the photographers were like, well, aren't you going to shave that? And I looked at him and I said, no, that's, you know, as long as he maintains it and all that. And to this day, he has never shaved it off. And I saw recent pictures of him when he was in his youth, and there's actually a cleft chin and some dimples under there. But I could never imagine him. One day, he even came in and he kind of taped off his beard and mustache just to see what it might look like.
Right.
I said, take the tape off.
I can't stand it. So
I want that. I mean, it's just, it's because it's all well manicured and now it's all a little bit salt and peppered.
And it's just how you know them.
But a dimple and dimples and and cleft chin is kind of cool.
I know, but I know they're there.
Well, it's just
a
surprise what's under there. You just don't always know.
But it's true. But when I see people being well manicured or trimmed, that makes a big difference.
Right.
You know, it's
absolutely.
And that's what I love. But that's part of his personality. So it's 30 and years and more, and I don't think he'd ever surprise me with that one.
All right. Thanks, Rhonda. On the text line, one of our guy friends says, same problem for men. When I ask a girl on a date and she does her hair totally differently, that's not the girl I asked out. 312-981-7200. Here's Stu. Hey, Stu.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what's your story?
And before I could just say, we missed you and we're so happy. My wife and I are so happy you're back.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
But, so what's your mustache story?
The mustache story is my dad was called back to active duty in the Navy in Korea. My older sister was 2 years old, was devastated he was leaving. So he's on a carrier off Korea and he grows a big handlebar mustache, sent a picture.
Stu?
Stu, we're waiting for the kicker.
All right, Stu, I'm gonna put you on hold because somehow you just kicked out. Sherry, what's your story?
Hi, girlfriends.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right.
I'm glad to have you back. My story is kind of a Navy story, too. My husband during the Vietnam War was in submarine duty, so he'd be gone for 3 months at a time. And every night, our little daughter, who was about 18 months, 2 years old, would kiss her daddy's picture goodnight and, you know, say her prayers and go to sleep. But when daddy came home, Daddy had a mustache, and the picture didn't have a mustache. So she saw this stranger, and she was really, really afraid. So he went upstairs and shaved his mustache off and called her. And the minute she saw him, she screams, Daddy!
Oh, yeah, it really changes appearance.
Did he grow it back?
Really, no, he never did.
Okay.
He never did until after the kid. She was grown up. He tried it again, but nah, it didn't last.
Exactly. Yeah. Great mustache stories. Thanks for your Sherry.
Thanks for you guys. Take care.
Thanks. And here's a funny one from the text line. Many years ago, a former neighbor passed away. He'd always had facial hair. I don't even think his children had seen him without his kind of scraggly facial hair. When the family went to view him after he died and the funeral home prep, the funeral home had shaved his face. They had not consulted with the family. Pretty shocking for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine a funeral home doing that without consulting with the family. This is Paul. Hi, Paul.
This is sort of the man's version of this.
Yeah. Hi, ladies. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show, and I let you know I'm one of your younger male callers. I'm only 30 years old.
Oh, I was going to say in your 50s? Okay.
Yeah, no, so we're out there, but I want to give you guys a call here. I feel like I sort of have a similar situation. I'm in a long-distance relationship with a girl now that I really care about, and she's out of the country right now, but before she left, she got a tattoo on her arm that, for me, is just the biggest turnoff, and I'm sort of, you know, wondering what to do about it. The next time I see her will be at the end of the summer, so it's been a pretty anxious, you know.
Wow, same person, same person, same personality, same everything that you fell in love with, except for the tattoo on her arm.
Except for the tattoo.
Had you talked about the fact that you don't like tattoos before?
Vaguely, you know, but of course you feel sort of conflicted where you're like, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, but at the same time, you don't want to, you know, have this conundrum yourself and feel differently about the person.
Unlike a mustache, it can't be changed.
It can, but a great expense
and pain.
Well,
it's great expense and pain, right.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Judy, because it's you know, having her go through that is in the back of my mind, but it's like, well, gee, I don't want to make somebody go through that, but it's, you know, I'm sort of at a crossroads of what do I do? What do I think about? So
I say, wait to see her till winter and she'll have long sleeves on.
Paul, good luck with that.
Sure. Thanks.
I don't have any answer. I'm sorry.
Okay. Bye-bye.